Okay, let's try this again. Si podemos abrir su Biblia, vamos al libro de Santiago. If you open your Bibles, please go to the book of James. We're going to do something here that's going to be a little bit interesting to you today. You guys are going to see what it means, a little taste of what it's like to be in a bilingual service. Wow, different, huh? That's what I wanted to do. So part of the reason for us doing this is because one of the things that we do, many times when we had the privilege to start a Spanish service, people asked us, well, why don't you just preach in 100% Spanish? And I would tell people, one of the reasons for that is because sometimes their spouses don't speak 100% Spanish. So what we wanted to do was create an atmosphere where we're teaching that to think of others more than themselves. So when we do Spanish, the English speaking, thinking about the Spanish. When we do English, the English people speaking for the Spanish. So it's kind of a little vice versa. But today we also have some people who only speak Spanish. We have Sebastian here. He's a family member, and it's always a blessing for him to be here. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to open up the Word of God, and we're going to read in chapter 1, and I'm going to read 19 through 27 in Spanish. Please follow along in English. And don't worry, I'm not going to preach my message all in Spanish. Okay, it's going to be in English, but we are going to be having some, we're going to be touching bases on some Spanish. So, and also don't worry, I just want to let you know that if you are wondering about your Spanish capabilities, it's going to be all settled in heaven. Just to remind you guys, God is Jesus. His dad was Jose. Su mamá es María. And his dad was a carpenter. So, I mean, what can you say, guys? I mean, let's... But one thing in our Spanish service that we always do before we get started is that we pray a lot. So I just want to open up in prayer again. You might say, well, we prayed. Yeah, it's fine. We pray because we just really need God's help. And I just want God's word to touch your hearts here today. You know, I want God's word to do what he wants to do. So let's pray if you could join me. Father, I just thank you once again just for this time that we could be in your word. And Father, we need you to do a work that only you could do. We are so desperately dependent upon you, Spirit of God, to take this, your written word, and to bring it to life in our hearts here today. I ask you, please, if you would fill me with your spirit. I pray, Father, that I would not say anything that you would have me not to say. And I pray, Father, that people, Father, would see you through the scriptures, and that your son's name will be highly lifted up. And I pray, Spirit of God, that we may be able to say here today that you are present among us, and that we not only saw, but we experienced your presence. Now, Lord, I pray that you would please help in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in James, and we're actually going to be reading verses 19 through 27. I'm going to be reading in Spanish, and then we're going to go right to the message. But please follow along in English. Estamos en Santiago, por favor, vamos a leer capítulo 1, vamos a mirar versículo 19 al 27. Por eso, mis amados hermanos, todo hombre sea pronto para oír, atado para hablar, tardo para ariarse, porque la ira de hombre no obra la justicia de Dios, por lo cual desechando toda inmundancia y abundancia de malicia, recibir con mansedumbre la palabra implantada, la cual puede salvar vuestras almas. Pero ser hacedores de la palabra, y no solamente oidores engañados a vosotros mismos. Porque si alguno es oidor de la palabra, pero no hacedor de ella, esta es semejante a hombre que considera en un espejo su rostro natural, porque él se considera a sí mismo, y se da y luego olvida como era. Mas el que mira atentamente en la perfecta ley, la de la revitar y persevera en ella, no siendo un oidor olvidadizo, sino hacerlo de la obra, que ésta sea bienaventurado en lo que hace. Si alguno se cree religioso, interesante palabra aquí, entre vosotros, y no refrena su lengua, sino el que engaña su corazón, la religión de esta es vana. Esa es la palabra de Dios. La religión pura y sin mácula delante de Dios el Padre es esta: visitar a los huérfanos y las viudas en sus tribulaciones y guardarse sin mancha del mundo. Puedes sentarte. You guys can sit down now. To my English brothers and sisters, we thank you for your patience in allowing us to be able to read the Word of God in Spanish. And as you can see here, we have our message in bilingual, and this is what it looks like most likely in our services. Our title today, what you're going to actually be experiencing here, is our second part going through the book of James. We have been privileged to go through the whole book of 1 John, and now we're actually attempting to go through the book of James. And our title series is Creciendo en la Semejanza de Cristo, Cualidades en la Vida de un Niño de Dios. In English, you can see right there, is growing in Christ-likeness and qualities in the life of a child of God. As we were studying the scripture verse, this is one of the ways that I brought it together to be able to teach it. And una palabra que es muy interesante. I know that many of the English-speaking people here know this word as sanctification, but to some of the Spanish-speaking people, what we want to do is that I want to provide what sanctification is. Sanctificado, el proceso en que el Espíritu de Dios usa la palabra de Dios para crecer en la semejanza de Cristo. Basically, guys, this is saying that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that God can use many different ways, and He allows tribulations, trials to form us and to mature us. But the primary tool that God always will use at all times is the Word of God. Now, and hoy es en las personas que está con nosotros la otra semana, voy a predicar este mensaje otra vez. No te agüitas, está bien. Eso es un mensaje para las personas en inglés y en español. So I just told them, like, don't feel bad to those people here who speak Spanish only, because they heard me preach part one of this. And I told them that I wanted to preach part one to you guys, basically, as we continue part two. So before we get started, there was a soldier. I remember hearing this one soldier, this story of a soldier. And I'm not a soldier, so I can't really talk to you about what it's like to be a soldier. I just hear a lot of stories about soldiers, and I read cool books about soldiers. And, well, this soldier was in love, and he was away. He was far away, and he started writing somebody. And, well, this person that he started writing, he started to really care for and develop, attachment for this person, vice versa. It was a long-distance relationship. Well, one of these days, like everybody who wanted to meet, they said, hey, why don't we meet each other? And so they said, okay, let's meet each other. And this lady said, meet me at the bus station. And so the soldier was like, absolutely. He was like, I was so happy to meet her. And he goes, meet me at the bus station, and you will know me as I'm going to be wearing like a white dress and a red rose on the side of my hair. And so he was all excited. Can you imagine, man? I mean, you're talking to, you're going to see the very person whom you've been spending time with, and you get to see that person. So you can imagine all the emotions going on, and you can just imagine her. She's wondering. They never saw each other. They never even knew what each other looked like. And as the lady was there, and she was waiting for the soldier, she saw another lady, and she was an elderly lady. And she said, hey, can you do me a favor? And she says, what can you do? She says, well, I want you to do me a favor. She's like, well, tell me, darling, what would you want? She says, can you just sit here, and can I give you this rose? Can you please put this rose on you? And she says, I'm waiting for somebody, and I just want to see if this person really, truly cares for me. Well, sure enough, the soldier came. Can you imagine? As the soldier came, he's all dressed up, nice. I mean, probably did some push-ups, right, to get himself all stoked up to look to his lady. And he's looking everywhere for her. He's like, where is she? Where is she? And his eye sees this red dress with the rose. And he goes, that can't be her. That can't be her. And he keeps on looking everywhere. And he says, she's the only one here with the red dress and a rose. He was challenged. He had a decision. This was the person whom he has been writing to, whom he developed affections for, and whom he said that he would love to take out to dinner. So the soldier did the right thing, the only thing that he should have done. He went to her and he says, hello, ma'am, I'm such and such person, and it's wonderful to meet you, and I can't wait to take you out to dinner. And that old lady just looked at him. She says, young man, I don't know what you're talking about, she says, but you know something? She says, this lady over there, she told me to hold this rose for you. And she told me that if you were to come over here and invite me to dinner to show you where she was at.
A story like that's very interesting because a story like that sometimes brings out the true character of a person. Sometimes the true character of the person I see is brought out during difficulties, during situations. As we have the opportunity to talk with my brother-in-law, I told him it's very interesting to see how a person's character changes when they play sports. They're one way right here, but when they play sports, they're a whole other different person. Something comes out of them that they've been holding deep inside of them. And one of the interesting thing is that when we come to the Word of God, James spends this a massive amount of time in chapter 2 all the way to verse 18 on the topic of trials and the topic of difficult times. He teaches us in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, basically, you know, God's purpose of trials. What are His reasons for trials in my life? Why does He permit them? And when we go to 5 through 7, we see that God not only teaches us the purpose, but God teaches us how should we respond through trials, you know? Everybody in this room, we go through trials. We have to go through difficulties. What is God's expectations? What should we do? Verses 8 through 18 teaches us basically, you know, having a biblical perspective during trials. And James is masterfully, he provides what I taught, 4 different trials, and he shows God's perspective on them, how to deal with them. But then James switches his thoughts. And then James comes to verse 19, and verse 19, he basically says, you know, my brothers, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And one of these things that we titled this was that James is speaking to the early church, and one of his concerns is his maturity. He's saying, listen, Christians, you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're growing in Him, and I want to teach you. I want to teach you some qualities that you should have in your life, some character qualities that should mark you as being a Christian. You are a believer. And one of the first qualities that we see right here is that we need to permit that the Word of God to control my emotions. To control my emotions. You know, when we read in verse 19 and 20, we see 3 aspects that he's talking about. The first aspect is he's saying that we need to listen well, but we need to listen right. La primera cosa que nosotros necesitamos mirar es que es importante que nosotros escuchar muy bien y correcto, pero la palabra de Dios. Es importante porque hay veces que nosotros podemos escuchar otras cosas que no es la palabra de Dios. And when James comes to this scripture verse right here, guys, he teaches us is that the very first thing that we need to learn, he's saying, guys, as Christians, you need to let God's word be a vital part of you. And one of the ways that you allow this is to listen to God's word. And when you come here, the scripture verse says, let every man be quick to hear. But you have to ask yourself, what is James asking us to be quick to hear about? There are many things in this world that we could hear. If you were in Job, you could hear his friends complaining to him and telling him that they had the answer to all of his problems. If you were Job, you could hear his wife tell him to curse God and die. I always thought that was a very hard thing for him. But what about our self-talk? So when we come to the scriptures right here, we have to ask ourselves, what is James talking about before? And James has been talking about trials. James has been talking about how the Word of God is in someone's life. So we could come to the conclusion that saying that, well, we need to spend time in God's Word. We need to allow the Word of God to be such a vital part in our lives that it's everything for us. And you got to remember, my friends, that James is talking to Christians and he's concerned about them growing. You know, when we come to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Word of God says, and voy a leer eso en español por ustedes, él respondió y dijo, escrito está, no solo de pan vivirá el hombre, sino de toda palabra que sale de boca de Dios. Eso es muy importante. Es una cosa que hay veces que nosotros sabemos que pues necesitamos comer, necesitamos nuestros arroz y frijoles, y quién sabe, a nosotros comemos a... no sé, no es tortas, pero no sé, ya olvidó, pero hay veces que nosotros estamos solamente pensando en comida, pero que es más importante es que nosotros tenemos la palabra de Dios. You know, guys, what James is trying to teach these believers, he's saying, we know the value of food. Am I right? We do.
I was brokenhearted the other day looking at my wife when she showed me a video of some people in Venezuela, if I'm correct, who are people who parents have to make choices whether to eat or not in order so their children can eat. It's a chaos over there, my friends. But if we're going to be people who are going to be quick to hear, we need to be quick to hear God's word. But can I ask you a question? What is one of the things that we struggle about with the most about hearing? You got to ask yourself, why is James asking us to be quick to hear? He's talking to new Christians. What happens when you get in an argument? Think about the last argument you had. And if any of you say we never have arguments, then you broke in one of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says thou shalt not lie. You could call it discussions. You could call it whatever you want. We get into arguments sometimes. But when you get into argument, have you noticed that in your mind, what words come to your mind? At those minds when you're having a disagreement, does it say, hey, you know, I need to believe that they really got my best interest in mind. You know what? I really know that I'm probably the one here overacting right here, guys. This is not bad. No, what's happening a lot of times is that at those moments, we have a lot of bad thoughts coming into our heads. We have a lot of moments the flesh is coming inside of us. And if we're not careful, we're going to start listening to the wrong type of voice when we should be listening to the one true voice, which is the Word of God. As new Christians, James is trying to teach them. He's trying to show them that we need to be people of the book. But we're going to learn more what is listening here. But we want to see another thing I want to show you, because the Bible says that quick to hear, I'm sorry. And what I said in Spanish is hablar con sabiamente. In English, that means to speak with wisdom. Are you guys familiar with Proverbs? Many of us say, I know Proverbs. I read a proverb a day, every day. And I think that's great. Not a problem. Proverbs 15:1. Who knows it here? Anybody? Somebody has to know it here. Come on, guys. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Tell me if that's not true or not. It's amazing how the wisdom of God is, huh? How God knows just everything. And what James is trying to teach us, he's saying, why would you think that James says we need to be people who listen quick, we need to listen and slow to speak? And one of the reasons that James is trying to say that we need to be slow to speak is because a lot of times we are not slow to speak, we're quick to react. And I've said it once and I say it again, guys. It's amazing to hear people just respond real quickly on the heat of a moment. Have you ever heard someone who said, oh, I did not mean to say that? And you're not in the receiving end, you're thinking, I really think that you did really mean to say that. No. What the Word of God is trying to show us here is James is trying to say, you got to remember, he's saying, Christians, listen to the Word of God. Be attentive, be wanting to listen to it. And when you're listening to the Word of God is doing something in you. It's alive, it's active. And what is it starting to do in you? It's starting to change you. It should guide you. So in other words, it's like when you have a situation come into your life, you should be able to say, you know what, is this a good time for me? This is probably not good for me to respond like this. You know, I should, you know what, I think there's a book by Paul Tripp that I remember forget that one of the books that I read, but Shepherding a Child's Heart, gives a wonderful principle there too. It talks about a lot of times when you're angry, what does he say that you need to go do? You need to go away. And you need to make sure that your spirit is right before you do anything. But we forget that, don't we? We apply those principles only sometimes of our lives. And then you come here and James comes to the Word of God and he says, but we need to react correctly. You know, my friends, the reason that it's amazing that when you spend time studying God's Word, my friends, and I'm not talking about when we just listen to God's Word being preached, but I'm talking about when we actually spend time in God's Word and we allow God's Word to do in our hearts what only He could do, He will show us things that we have never seen before. And as I was studying the scripture, verse 20 stood out to me like nothing. Porque la ira de hombre no obra la justicia de Dios. ¿Tú sabes qué es eso? He's saying, because the wrath of man doesn't bring the righteousness of God. Think about that. When's the last, you know, is God's word saying that we shouldn't have anger? No, because we know that there's a sense of holy righteousness. But what God's Word is trying to teach us here is that when uncontrolled anger, sinful anger, never fulfills what God's intended purposes is. You can't be an angry person and expect to do a work for God. Think about this, my friends. He's talking to Christians. And we're sitting here today in our churches and we're saying, well, okay, you know, we've been here for 15, 10, 20 years. And why am I listening to a message about I need to control my emotions? I need to let God's word come in me. I know this to be true. And can I tell you something, my friends? It's because, church, I think that we've forgotten it sometimes. It's not just in these walls that's important. It's in our homes. I remember in Wednesday's Bible study, I said, you know, there's a difference between speaking and understanding. And I brought it up in our Wednesday Bible study. Tenemos un estudio en los miércoles que estábamos estudiando en eso palabras de Dios. And I told him, husband and wife, has there been a moment when you said something, but your husband or wife totally interpreted it another way? And what do you think? Everybody just started laughing because they know it to be true. It's life, guys. When our children hear us talk at home, who do they hear, my friends? Some of our biggest problems is because we don't practice some of these principles. I just see them in listening. You know, sometimes sometimes in our homes or sometimes in our business places, if you're in a position of authority or if you're a boss, sometimes you think that you have to speak so much. And can I remind you of something, that to those of you who we find ourselves being in that position, you know what happens to the person who's just hearing you? Blah, 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 blah. Or another thing sometimes is that our homes are so filled with anger that when you're saying, I'm trying to get a hold of my kids and they're not listening to me. And I'm saying, well, what do you expect when they all hear is nothing but yelling? You know, our home should be, in a sense, my friends, where if our kids hear our raised voices, that should surprise them. Am I right? Raised voices should signify an emergency, not a way of living. And what we should be doing is people who listen, teaching our children, hey, we need to listen to God's word. We should be husbands who say, families, we need to bring God's word into our homes. We need to listen to God's word. We need to watch our words and how we speak to one another. And we need to respond correctly. You know, one of the things that we learn is that sometimes one of the biggest problems in some churches is that, well, I can't believe that they said this about me or this, this and that. And if you ask them, did you hear them say that? You know what they'll say? No, but I know they're thinking that. I know that's what they're thinking. And I think to myself, I'm like, you know, the only time in the Bible that I knew someone who knew the thoughts of a man, his name was Jesus. We're pretty safe for not saying that we know another person's thoughts. My friends, we need to allow the Word of God to control my emotions. Now, how do you do that, my friends? See, for me, I love always trying to make it as simple and as pliable as it is. How do I allow God's word to control my emotions? What are my action steps? What do I need to do? Many of us will say, well, I just need to read God's word. Absolutely. I just need to be in God's word. And I will say, well, how do you read God's word? They'll say, well, I just need to go to Genesis. And I'm going to read Genesis. And I get through Exodus. And I stop. And what do? Oh, I'm going to start back at Genesis. And you're just masters of Genesis. You never get anything else. You know, guys, there's a wonderful ways. One of the ways that I could just encourage you is this. This could be a distraction, or you could turn it to be a blessing. The audio Bible. You'll be amazed, and try it for a week, that on your commute to work, instead of listening to the radio or to news or to anything that's going to get you fueled up and angry, and just try listening to the Word of God for a week. Just for 1 week. And tell me something, how much your emotions will not change throughout that week. It's amazing how much your thinking gets cleared up. Why? It's because who's in the seat with you that whole time? You're fellowshipping with God. We've turned the Word of God into a chore, my friends. When it should be something that we should be enjoying, a sense of intimacy. In Spanish, we call it compañerismo. I like that word. It means fellowship. It carries the idea of like this close fellowship. But what we need is not only to listen to what God's word says, but to study it. Do you guys know that, Lord willing, here in the evenings, we're going to be teaching a class here on how to study your Bible? Let me give you, that's like a big sign. Go, dude, how to study your Bible. Go. And can I teach you guys something? There's many ways to study your Bible. We're all do it different.
So that's why you say, well, I need to learn it this way. No, you don't. Every relationship is different. Sometimes you may get crazy and start looking at Greek. Sometimes you may start wanting to, you know, outline a passage. Or sometimes you may just read God's word when you're walking. The point is allowing God to work in your heart. You know why? What happens when you listen well, you speak slowly and react differently? You know why? It's because someone's living inside of you guys. Follow me? It's something that I used to always teach, and I used to tell people, you know, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Don't you think one of His characteristics that He's going to be producing in us is called holiness? If He's the Holy Spirit, it's the most common sense thing. But another thing that we need to do, that we come to the Word of God and see, is that we need to evaluate my life for tendencies that don't reflect Jesus Christ. En español, evaluar mi vida por tendencias que no reflejan a Cristo Jesús. If you please follow me now to, we're going to continue in James. And I appreciate your patience because my Bible up here is all in Spanish. And I found another Bible in English, so I'm really happy right here. Try speaking in two languages. You get stuck many times. Especially when you go to a grocery store, you know. They're just like looking at you like, what? And you're like, I'm sorry. I just got stuck in Spanish or I got stuck in English. Look at what the verse 21 says, guys. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness implanted word which is able to save your souls. It's very interesting here is that when you do a study on this, what there are many commentators that will have different twists on this. But what I settled on is it carries the idea of that now that you're a new creature, now that you're a child of God, you have to continually take rid of, get stuff off of you that just clings to you that's not like Jesus Christ. And now, when I was studying the scripture passage, I have to ask myself, I was like, well, what are some of these things? And I cannot help but think about, what if one of our ways that we need to get rid of is talking negatively? Have you thought about that? I said it one time, I remember saying this, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but sometimes I say jokingly that I think some people think they have the gift of criticism. I do think that's a spiritual gift. You know, they know that's their gift that they're special at. And I tell people, I'm like, people will say, well, you know, God showed me this, so I need to tell them this. I'm like, you know, the first thing that we need to do is that we need to ask God, search my heart before I go correct something. And maybe sometimes you're not the means of correcting it. Maybe you just need to pray for that person. But what do we like? It's easier for us to do what? Talk, right? Oh, let me go correct them. What's hard for us to do? Pray. Oh, man, that's hard, right? Like, did you pray for them? Yeah, I prayed for them. How long? A minute. How many days did you pray for them? Days? You mean I'm supposed to pray for them days? Yeah, did you pray for some days? No, I'm not going to pray for them days. I pray for them like for one time and, you know, I thought that was it. No. When you pray for somebody, what happens? God starts changing your heart. So what James is coming here and he starts saying, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive the meekness and planted word. What James is saying is that in order to do that, we need to evaluate our life, right? You guys, we need to see how we are, how we're living. You know, guys, can I give you a suggestion? This is convicting for many people, but I believe that we need to be careful what we watch on the TV. Now, I'm not up here trying to preach against the TV, okay? I have a TV. But I think we need to be careful what we watch on TV. Sometimes I think that some of our sinful tendencies that we need to get rid of in our life is the gods in our life. There's an excellent book, I believe, written by a lady who's called The Idols of the Heart. Phenomenal book if you guys haven't read it. But I've always thought, what would happen if we had today Moses or Isaiah come to a stadium with us and see us root on a football team? Would they think that that's our God? You ever thought about it? Would they look at us and go, these are different gods. They got weird looking things and these people worship them. And sometimes I think that we look at stuff like that and we say, no, that's not my God. And can I just give you some insight? If you get defensive towards it, a rule of thumb, you always guard and protect your gods. It is true. Show me what you love, I'll show you what you protect.
And there's nothing wrong when we love our spouses, our children, but I think we forget to love our God. And that's how we need to evaluate our life. And if we evaluate our life, what do we need to do? We need to eliminate some simple tendencies that are in my life. And how, and you know, so you say, well, what are some of those ways? How am I supposed to say that? You know, guys, sometimes one of the biggest things that was taught to me is that, you know, to those of you who are married, God has given your wife as a wonderful gift to you. Sometimes she sees things that you don't see. And if she's approaching you in a very loving, kind manner, telling you something I'm concerned about, you need to give ears to that. Can I remind you something, ladies, sometimes too? It's vice versa. Because see, sometimes one thing that we tend to forget is that before you were married, you guys were incomplete. When God brought you together, what were you? You're one. But if we want to evaluate what we need to be getting out of, we need to spend time in God's Word. And you look at what the Word of God says right here. The Word of God says, and receive. Receive with meekness. Did you guys catch that? Meekness. The opposite of wrath. Did you see it? The opposite of wrath. What is James trying to say? He's trying to say, listen guys, you're a new Christian. Listen. Don't act quickly. Don't let wrath get a hold of you. Get rid of anything in your life that's unlike Christ-like, and receive with how? Meekness. What is meekness? Humbleness. You know what that carries the idea of saying? I need you, God. My friends, what is the last time in your guys' life that you ever got to a point to where you could honestly say that I need God? Not when you have a trial. Not when something bad's happened to your life. But when's the last time in your life that, when I remember being taught here by a brother who says, it's not that we raise up our hands like this. It's that we raise up our hands like this. Remember? We have nothing. And we ought, and what God's trying to say is that, God, I need your word. God, I want your word. And it carries the idea of saying, God, it's when God says, here's your word, you say, God, give it to me. I'm receiving it. My friends, this is what is needed in today's churches. You know, sometimes it amazes me how we could go, and I'm not attacking my other Christian brothers and sisters out there who are serving the Lord and are not of like faith in Baptist circles, but sometimes if you listen to what they're teaching, you listen to what is being taught, it's not even the Word of God. People are receiving things other than the Word of God. And these are basic principles that James is trying to teach us. And with the time that I have left, and I don't have that very much, this is what I want to get to. This was part two. Eso es el segundo parte de nuestro mensaje. En español es comprende que mis acciones deben seguir después de la verdad revelada de la palabra de Dios. You know, guys, when you look at James, he's teaching this stuff to Christians. And you look at the one of the things he says right here. But be doers of the word. I mean, man. How would you feel if you had a friend like that? Seriously, you had a friend who says, hey, you need to be like this. We need to watch what we say. We need to get rid of this. And you have a friend who says, but you know, you need to be someone who does the word of God, just doesn't hear it. And that's the problem, my friends, was about being in God's word and hearing it every Sunday and not doing something in your life that God wants you to do. It becomes common to you. You know what I'm talking about, the time when God pricks your heart with the truth, and at that moment, you have a decision, either to react or to dismiss. And what James is trying to teach us here, guys, he's saying, when you look here, he's saying, we need to understand that if I'm just a person who listens, I fail to complete God's intended work in my life. And why is that? Because when you read the Word of God, listen to what the Word of God says, my friends. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself, goes away immediately, and forgets what kind of man he was. Have you noticed it was a man, not a woman? You notice that? The reason I say it is because I just tease. Because why? Because who spends more time in the mirror? A woman. Don't get mad. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But what the thing is, what I'm trying to show us here is that James is trying to just give us some simple principles. And I believe the simple principles were, is that we tend to forget or ignore what God has revealed to us. Think about it. Look at the illustration. Here's a man. He's looking in the mirror. And what gets revealed to him in a mirror, guys? Why do we use a mirror? Because the mirror is there to show us things that we have not seen, right? That it's important that we see. I mean, it's embarrassing if we have ketchup stain on us, right? It's embarrassing if we have something, if we have like a bug in our hair or something. We use a mirror for those reasons. And it would be foolish of us to say, oh, I saw this thing in me and I'm not going to do nothing about it. Now put the word of God there. God's word saying, listen, I'm showing you something. I'm teaching you something. And what James is trying to say is that what we have the tendency to do is that we forget it. You ever look in the Old Testament, how much that God took some time to remind the Israelites to not forget the Lord? To remember the Lord? Or we ignore it, right? That's not for me. That's not for me. I found another commentator has a different twist on that, and I'm going to believe him other than you. It reminds me of one time when we had the opportunity and we're teaching a lot of young adults, and social drinking came up. And I remember what I was taught. But I remember at that time I said, you know what I'm going to do, guys? I'm going to study God's word. I'm going to study it. And I have to come to the conclusion. It has to be a conviction for me. Because if I listen to it all the time and do no study work, my convictions are other man's convictions. And can you imagine having 25 other man's convictions in your head plus the Holy Spirit? That is insanity. So what do? Spend time in God's Word. And what was my conclusion? I don't believe Christians should be drinking. Now, you may be mad at me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude, disrespectful. But after all my studying, I came to the conclusion a Christian shouldn't be drinking. And tell me something. What good is in it? I need a substance to relax myself? No. You studied God's word. God's word worked in my heart. And I came back and I taught that. I never forget. We had people. My wife knows. When I taught on something like that, they got up and they never came back. I never forget that someone told me something about the Word of God, but how can we be experts of the Word when we don't study the Word, guys? You ever think about that? Sometimes we think we're experts because we just went on gotquestions.org and they have the answer for us, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about, okay? But we need to be people who study it, and when we study it, we don't forget and we don't ignore. And we got to understand, why does God reveal Himself in His Word for us, guys? Isn't it to know Him more? You can't love somebody you don't know. You ever think about that? And I think sometimes in our churches is that we have a lot of people who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but we have not taken some time to help them grow and help them cultivate and help them encourage them and establish them to have a relationship with Christ. You can't love somebody you don't know. But when you spend time in God's Word, as God's Word says, and He starts teaching you stuff in His Word, what does that do to you? You know, guys, can I tell you something? I'll never forget the day that I got saved. I don't know the day. I don't know the day. All I remember is that, guys, that for once in my life that there was a Bible there and I had a feeling. Wow, a feeling, right? Pulling at me to pick it up and to read it. And I didn't want to. You know why? Because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I said, I don't want to be some person who just picks up the Bible and says, God, help me and get me out of a moment. But for the first time in my life, guys, when I picked up that Bible, this is why this word right here is so real. And I'm trying to control myself up here without being so emotional, because I don't want people to think I'm too emotional, okay? But it was a mirror for me. When I saw it, guys, I saw me for the very first time in my life. I saw me. I saw everything
that God wanted to show me. I didn't see nothing good. I saw that I'm a sinner. And the more and more that I kept on reading that Word of God, you know what happened? It was a light. The lights were on. I was in a room and I seen things that were differently. And I was like, oh my. What happened? I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And I was broken. And when God's Word taught me that sinners should go to hell, you know what I said? It's right. People like me go to hell. But God, praise the Lord in the gospel, show me that He loved me. And that was very hard and still sometimes to admit, challenging to believe. I didn't ask God to save me, guys. I begged Him. I said, God, if it's possible, could you save me? Could you be my Savior? Then the lights were on. Everything was different. I couldn't do things the same, guys. I remember at those times I was talking with Jeremy Cohen this week at work. And I said, things were different. I said, I had things. And I said, I can't have this stuff no more. This is no good. I got rid of them. People were saying, what are you doing? Come to this. And I said, I can't do that no more. I said, this is wrong. And I was ashamed of it. And you know something? I could wish and say that it got all revealed at one time. And no, it didn't. It got revealed in increments. Who knows if God would have shown me the fullness of my sin. I could have been like Isaiah, probably dead on the ground, broken. But that's why, guys, when we go to the Word of God and when God's Word talks about the mirror, when God's Word talks about don't be doers of the Word, to me, it's a little bit different because, see, people say, well, I didn't get saved till I was later, guys. So it's real. You follow me? It's real. And that's why sometimes people go, oh, you know, you're just excited. You're just going to be on fire for God for some time. You're going to be on fire for God for 10 years and it's going to die down. I hope it doesn't die, guys. I really don't. I hope that I get to be an elderly man who's in love with Jesus and still goes out there and tells me about Him. I don't think I'll ever get over it. But that's why when Santiago comes in, he tells us that we need to be doers of the Word. And when it says that God's Word reveals is to teach us, He teaches us all the times, guys. But He also teaches us to act. You know, and one of the best ways to see how He teaches us to act is this. When God shows you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, what is that called? That's action. That's faith. You're believing in Him. You're believing at His Word. But also, what God's Word says too, guys, if you follow in the scripture text right here, it says, but he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and not a forgetter or hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Tell me if this is not true with your salvation. You took God at His Word, am I right? If we come to Jesus Christ, we know we are a sinner and He died for us, and we come to Him putting our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. This is fulfilled, you're blessed. But it's not only with salvation, it's with everything in life. You know, people say, well, I have bad friends. I like to hang out with these friends. Or people say they're not bad friends. But isn't it true that the Bible says that bad company corrupts good habits? Isn't that true? You start to see it. God's Word is true. And what God's Word is saying is that a Christian who continues in God's Word, and when God teaches them the truth and he takes God at His Word, he experiences God's fellowship and fulfillment. God does what He says He's going to do, and you enjoy Him. You have a smile on your face, guys. You're happy because there's something inside of you. You know, I never forget my dad, when I told him I was a Christian, he says he thought it was just for a time. You know, I've been saved now for almost, I want to say 14 years, maybe. Hasn't changed, guys. It keeps on. My poor wife, man, she has to hear me get excited sometimes about things that she... I tell Dulce, I'm like, Dulce, you see this? Like the Green Exchange book? Man, every time I go to that book, I'm like, whoa, look at it. Yeah, Randy. Yes, it's. Yeah. Do you see this? This is like, whoa, you know, crazy. She's like, yeah, you know.
So you know what I do with, so now I'm looking forward to do it with my kids, you know what I mean? They'll get excited. I'm like, hey, God, Dad, woo, let's do it. Follow Jesus. All right, let's go.
Look at what James does right here, guys, in closing. I believe James does an example for us.
When I was studying the scripture verse, I asked myself, I was like, why does James all of a sudden talk about a religious person?
And what I think what James is doing is that James is, he's saying, hey, I'm showing you, believers, hey, this is what you should do. This is how we should act. And I think he's giving an example. And possibly because who is the pious person in their day?
Pharisees.
Maybe he's thinking about them. People who come along, walk along, and they carry themselves like they're very religious and pious. And God's word says, if anybody thinks that he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is useless. I believe what the word of God is here trying to teach us, he's trying to show us, is that here's somebody who says that they have a walk with God, but when they are away from people's eyes, they're a different people.
You know, sometimes, guys, how we respond, whether it be in here, our families, an animal, it all reveals something about us, doesn't it not? You ever think about that? It all does. And what James is trying to teach is that he's saying, listen, uncontrolled speech reveals our hearts. Isn't the word of God says, keep your heart above all things, for out of it proceed the issues of life? And then the question to that is like, well, we always say, well, then how am I supposed to keep my heart? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in your heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. I'm waiting for Pastor Mike to say he's going to preach on Psalm 119. That's my favorite psalm in the whole Bible. The longest one, but it's my favorite one because it's like his heartbeat. That's where it's at. He just loves God. He just loves Jesus. You know, he just loves God. But if you look here, guys, look at what the Word of God says in closing. He says, pure and undefiled religion of God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep one unspotted in the world. Sometimes I think the orphans and sometimes widows are the most, sometimes the forgotten people in our church. Anybody, guys? You ever met somebody who has a mom and dad, but they feel like an orphan? That's bad. And I used to always say, like, do you ever wonder why they want to go over there and they don't want to be here? But what God's word is trying to teach us, he's saying this, and he goes, a person who has a heart after God watches what he says, but he shows his actions for the needy and helpless. You know, guys, can I encourage you? You know, sometimes, guys, I think we forget about the people who are hurting. As I'm preaching, I was remembered, I got reminded about one person. We could be a blessing to somebody who we know is hurting, someone who's in need, and do something for them. Do you know you could help somebody without them knowing that you're helping them? Try it. Get a gift card. Slip it to them. Find some way. Let them find it. And don't even know. Don't even let them know that you did it. Just keep it like your little secret. You know what I mean? But who sees it? God sees it. But why do you do it? Because you want to get God's attention? Because you do it because you care and you love. And can you see what James is saying? James is saying, watch how you talk, have some action in caring for the needy and helpless, and look at the last one he talks about. And keep thy oneself unspotted from the world. You know, the other day, I don't know, I was having this conversation, and there's many things that I have books about. And on one of my sections of my library, I have like a lot on music. It's so funny because you can get like some of the older works on music and the newer works. And I just want to see the arguments. And sometimes I don't think the arguments are like, I'll be honest, I think they're horrible. And I think we should provide better arguments. Now you say, oh, what do you believe in your music? I believe that the music that we do here is wonderful. And I don't forget talking with somebody and say, well, you know, Pastor Randy, what about me listening to Christian rap? Because I hear all these books about talking about rock, and I want to say, guys, you guys realize that there's like a whole new generation out there who's now swinging to the rap side, you know? And they say, well, and I go, let me ask you this question. How would you think if I went home in my car, and I'm listening to Christian rap, right? And I have it up, and I pull into my parking lot. You think anybody's going to be listening, think I'm listening to music that's all glorifying God? You know, they're going to say, well, they have words about Jesus. I'm like, I'm going to be straightforward with you, man. You got to really hear sometimes. I mean, all it talks about is their past life. And some people say, well, what about that? You know, they talk about this. And I go, can I say something? When God saves you for something, do you want to talk about the shame and discuss what he brought you of all the time? If I was correct, Paul said, one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind, and I press forward to what's ahead. Am I right? Christians are always forward focused. Christians are always overcomers. Personal holiness, guys. It's reflected in what we listen to. The Word of God tells us in Colossians 3:16 that let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, if I'm correct. But it's not just with our music, guys. It's with our entertainment. What do you spend the most time with? Now, some of you might say, well, you're trying to tell me that I just need to be people who just always carry the book with me and everything. No, I'm not trying to say you need to be people who always carry the book with you. I'm just saying that we just need to be, we need to be people who love Jesus. Where we say, this is more important. If you have a hard time stopping something, most likely it's your God. But have you noticed that when it comes to spending time in God's Word, what happens? Folks, man, this preacher's preaching for 45 minutes. So I gotta get out of here. Oh, man. I prayed for 5 minutes. I think I fell asleep. No, what we need to do is like, I'm there with you. We need to say, God, I want to talk to you. And this flesh, this body, doesn't want anything to do with you. Can you please help me? We have to be like Paul says in this most convicting verse, I believe, to anybody doing ministry. I bring my body into subjection. Yes, when I preach to others, I myself find myself disqualified. Ouch. That's a hard verse for anybody in ministry. Now, my Christians, can I tell you something? I come up here and I could honestly say with a clear conscience that what I shared with you is in no way because I have anything against anybody in here. This is God's Word. And these are qualities that God's people need to have in their lives. When people come in here, we need to realize that people are going to be listening to us, guys, more than what we know. What are they hearing us talk about? We need to be people that only listen to God's Word and react quick, slowly, but we need to be people who say, man, Lord, is this something that's not like you? I need to get it off of me. When it says casting off, you know what that carries the idea of? It literally carries the idea of this, guys. This, taking it off. Throwing it. I'm not going to throw it. That'd be bad. It carries that idea. And also, can I remind you, it doesn't mean just like things that we know that we would say real quickly, yeah, that's bad, it's wrong. Sometimes it's our attitude. Sometimes it's our thinking. We just need to ask God, God, help me. What we need to be doing is saying, God, I want to follow you, and I want to believe your word. When you love somebody, and you will trust them, and you will follow them. And you have you noticed that if you love God, that all of this is the work of him doing inside of you. Yes, we're supposed to take steps of action. Yes, we need the Spirit of God doing this. But we're not supposed to be passive. I close with this. I'll never forget. I found this to be so true. I was newly saved. And I had a charismatic guy trying to have me speak in tongues. I felt so discouraged, man. I was really so discouraged. I was like, man, I just can't do this thing. You know what I mean? And I mean, he was trying to help me speak in tongues, put my hands on me. And I was like, man, God, I was a new Christian. You know what I mean? And even as a new Christian, I was like, this thing, it's a little weird. You know what I mean? And I never forget that as a new Christian, I got all kinds of books and I wanted to read. Though him being definitely off doctrinally in that, he told me something that I never forgot. He told me, he's like, you know what you need to do is that you need to get rid of all those books and spend time in this book. He says, you just need to let God change you. And you know something, guys? The more that that anybody spends time in God's Word, He's going to be revealing to you things that He wants to change in you. And I think about that when I talk with my wife. I tell her, like, I'm studying and I talk about a totally different subject and she's just there listening to me. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, God's doing it again on my life. I mean, what I'm teaching is not in learning, it's not on this topic, but God's teaching. Guys, let's be like Jesus Christ. Let's watch what we say. Let's be people who are quick to hear God's Word. Let's be people, when we walk out of here and we go to our neighborhoods, be people who says, Lord, I don't want them to know me, but I want them to see you. And let that not be just in our neighborhoods, my friends. Let that be in our workplaces. And I think because our workplaces is sometimes the most forgotful mission field out there, if you think about it. A lot of people are happy, and I'm happy. I have a brother, Caleb, that I'm so happy that he's going to get out there in the mission field. And I can't wait till he gets out there. But can I remind somebody here, our mission field is here too, guys. It's not just out there. It's here. If we can't do it here, this is the litmus test. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, just for this opportunity here to teach your word.